नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द चर्निंग ऑफ द मिल्क ओशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 एंड 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 तस्या आसनमानिन्ये महेन्द्रो महदद्भुतम् मूर्तिमत्यसरिश्रेष्ठा हेमकुम्भैर्जलं शुचि इट्स अ सूटेबल सिटिंग प्लेस फॉर द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून ऑल द रिवर्स ऑफ सैक्रेड वाटर सच एज द गैंजेस एंड यमुना पर्सनिफाइड देमसेल्व्स and each of them brought pure water in golden water pots for Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Text 11, there is no purport, read the text 11. Abhishechanika bhumir aharat sakalaushadi gava pancha pavitrani vasanto madhumadavau. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered 5 products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishak. Purport. Panchagavya, the 5 products received from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung and cow urine, are required in all ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic directions. Cow urine and cow dung are uncontaminated, and since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we can just imagine how important this animal is for human civilization. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna directly advocates Gorakshya, the protection of cows. Civilized men who follow the system of Varnashram, especially those of the Vaishya class, who engage in agriculture and trade, must give protection to the cows. Unfortunately, because people in Kali Yuga are manda, all bad, and sumanda mataya, misled by false conceptions of life, they are killing cows in the thousands. Therefore, they are unfortunate in spiritual consciousness, and nature disturbs them in so many ways, especially through incurable diseases like cancer and through frequent wars and among nations. As long as human society continues to allow cows to be regularly killed in slaughterhouses, there cannot be any question of peace and prosperity. So I sincerely seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially Gaurgopal Prabhu, Rajbihari Prabhu and all the others. So today we are reading from the 8th canto, chapter 8, text number 10 and 11. So in these verses, especially in the 10th verse, it is mentioned that after goddess of fortune Lakshmi Devi appeared, Indra brought a suitable sitting place for the goddess of fortune. And then all the personified holy rivers, they came to actually, they brought water for Mother Lakshmi. Then the 11th verse, it is explained that how the cows delivered the 5 products and spring personified collected everything produced in the spring. And Prabhupada is actually writing his purport on the importance of cows. So definitely I am not an authority on cows, but I just wanted to at least as you most of you might have already heard, on Sunday feast, like Madan Gopal Prabhu gave such an elaborate, wonderful class on the importance of cows. And from that class, especially few points which inspired me the most, many times he was telling the point that many times when people talk about the importance of cow protection, they say that how the cow products are so helpful. So they give that argument. But then Madan Gopal Rao gave a different picture. He said, actually we should not even call that as cow products. So he was saying that actually it is a blessing from the cow. He was saying that when we say gobar is that cow dung, but actually the original word is govar. So it is actually blessing from the cow. So one thing at least which I thought was, like, especially like living in the city, like it would not be possible for everyone to adopt a different lifestyle because all of us have different conditionings. But it is not a, I felt that it is not a question of adapting a different lifestyle, but it is basically a question of accepting the blessings. If somebody can accept more blessings, so that is good. But if somebody can accept less blessings, then that is also good. But at least one should, I felt that at least we should start accepting the blessings of cows. And this point of blessings, how when a person receives the blessings from a person who is especially dear to the Lord Krishna, what all he can get? What are the real blessings of the Lord? And when a person receives the blessings of person who is dear to the Lord, or when a person receives the blessings from the Supreme Lord, what all one can get? So I'll try to focus on this topic of this blessings, because I don't know much about cow protection, but I felt that basically we have to accept the blessings of the cows, and cows are dear to Lord Krishna. So similarly, devotees are dear to the Lord. When we accept the blessings of the devotees, what a person can achieve. So I think 1 or 2 years back, Gaurang Prabhu and Goin Prabhu, they gave a seminar on power of blessings. So I'll try to speak based on those lectures, some points. So blessings, first of all, blessings of a devotee of the Lord do not come to a person unilaterally. Once Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk in a beach. So one fisherman came and offered some fish to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, no, I don't want this. You enjoy this fish. You enjoy this fish. And then Prabhupada went ahead and then told the devotees, you enjoy and you suffer. So depending on how we act, one gets the blessings of great devotees. So this fisherman was trying to offer fish to Prabhupada, so he didn't get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. So it depends on how we act. And blessings, and when we receive the blessings of a great person, we should also have the power to digest those blessings. Like blessings are like condensed milk or rabadi. So if a person does not have the proper digestion power, then it will cause diarrhea. Like one, two persons approached Goddess of Fortune. One was a capitalist, and another was a laborer. So this capitalist asked Goddess of Fortune, please give me money that I can use for 6 months. So Goddess of Fortune gave him $1,000. And the laborer approached Goddess of Fortune. He asked, give me $1,000 for every day. Every day I want $1,000. So Goddess of Fortune started giving every day $1,000. But this, because the laborer does not know how to use $1,000, he actually he would spend all $1,000 every day, and at the end of the day he would continue to remain poor. Whereas the capitalist knew how to use it. So both of them got the blessings, but then one knew how to use those blessings, but the laborer did not know how to use that blessings. And we see the example of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. When Duryodhana came to the Kauravas, Duryodhan actually pleased Duryodhana by his wonderful service. And Duryodhana was so much pleased that he was ready to give all the blessings to Duryodhan and his brothers. But then Duryodhan, what did he ask from Duryodhana? He said, please go to the Pandavas after they actually finish their lunch. Because you use these blessings in order to trouble the Pandavas, so that Pandavas will be cursed by Duryodhana. But whereas the Pandavas, they actually pleased the Supreme Lord. By pleasing the Supreme Lord, they not only pleased Duryodhana, but they pleased the entire creation. So when the Supreme Lord was leaving from the Pandavas actually blessed Lord Krishna by saying, as you know that story, that when Duryodhana approached the Pandavas camp, they had already finished their lunch, and then Duryodhana was there with his 60,000 disciples. Then they took shelter of Lord Krishna. Krishna appeared, and then Krishna took that one particle of grain. Then Krishna became so much pleased, then the whole creation was pleased, including the Duryodhana and the 60,000 disciples. So then, when Krishna was leaving, Pandava said, please continue to do this task of protecting your devotees. The Pandavas were blessing the Krishna. Please continue to do this task of protecting the devotees. So both of them, Duryodhan and company, they also got the blessings of Duryodhana, but then he did not know how to utilize the blessings. But the Pandavas, they pleased the Supreme Lord, and in that process they pleased the entire creation. They knew how to utilize the blessings. In fact, this attitude of Duryodhan and Arjuna, how, like in the first chapter of the Gita, like I heard from 2 years back from Gaur Gopal Rao's class, like in the first chapter of the Gita, when Duryodhan saw that army which was army of the Pandavas, he became completely afraid. He felt that how is it that the Pandavas have actually come with such a big army? Yes, by seeing the army, he was so frightened. Then he immediately approaches Dronacharya. So then he encourages him to fight. He tells him that, please do not show any mercy to the Pandavas. Please fight with your full capacity. Like that he was trying to encourage Dronacharya. So in one of those verses, he says, Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samitin Jaya Ashwatthama Vikarnascha Saumadattis Tataivacha. So when he addresses Dronacharya, he says, Bhavan Bhishmascha. First he addresses Drona, he addresses Drona's name. Like before that he tells, who are all the powerful warriors in the side of the Pandavas? And then after describing the warriors on the side of the Pandavas, then he starts describing the warriors on the side of the Kauravas. So when he starts describing, first he says that, Bhavan, yourself. And then he says, Bhishma, Bhishma Dev. Then Kripacharya, etc. So actually, according to the etiquette, Duryodhan is supposed to address Bhishma Dev first, and then he is supposed to tell the name of Dronacharya. But then Duryodhan first addressed the name of Dronacharya, and then he told the name of Bhishma. He forgot the etiquette. But then we see in the case of Arjuna also, when he saw the army in the battlefield, he became completely, he was like overstruck by grief, and hairs were standing on end, his whole body was trembling, then he finally surrenders to Krishna. So when he says that the second chapter, Katam Bhishmam Aham Sanke Dronam Cha Madhusudana. Ishubi Prati Yatsyami Puja Arha Varisudana. Arjuna is telling to Krishna, how can I fight with my respectable teacher and grandfather who are actually worthy of my worship? So first he addresses the name of Bhishma and then he tells the name of Drona. Katam Bhishmam Aham Sanke Dronam Cha Madhusudana. So although Arjuna was in the most distressful condition, he was in the most frustrated state, still he did not forget the etiquette. He first addressed the name of Bhishma, then he told the name of Drona. But whereas Duryodhan forgot the etiquette, because he had selfish attitude, so he forgot the etiquette. But then, although Arjuna was in a depressed state, but he was selfless in nature, so he did not forget the etiquette. So then, coming to the point, what a blessing can give. When a person gets the blessings of the Lord, and especially when your husband and wife, when they get the blessings of the Lord, they will get the great devotee of the Lord as the child. So when a child who is a devotee of the Lord, he can actually do the utmost welfare to the whole family. In the first canto, 19th chapter, Parishit Maharaj is telling to Sukadeva Goswami, Api me Bhagavan Preeta Krishna Pandu Suta Priya Paitri Swaseya Preetyantar Tad Gurashraya Bandava. Parishit Maharaj is telling, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Api me Bhagavan Preeta Krishna Pandu Suta Priya, because he is very pleased with the Pandavas, he has accepted me as his relative. So because of that, he actually personally appeared to protect me. Paitri Swashaya Preetyartham Tad Gurashraya Pandava. So because the Pandavas are so dear to the Lord Krishna, he has accepted me as his relative, because I happen to be the grandson of the Pandavas. So that Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure and exclusive devotee of the Supreme Lord, he can do the greatest welfare to the human society. He can do the greatest welfare to the family. He says that even if the family members are not devotees, but if the son or daughter, if he is a pure and exclusive devotee of the Lord, he can do the greatest welfare to the family. Even if that son actually leaves the service of their parents, but if he is a devotee of the Lord, he can do the greatest welfare to the family. On the other hand, a son or daughter may take wonderful care of the family members, but then if he is not a devotee of the Lord, he will only actually, whatever service he is doing is only for the temporary. Because that is definitely, in Kali Yuga, most of the time that is not happening. But the greatest service to the family members is when the son becomes a devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada says that when a person becomes a devotee of the Lord, even if the family members are non-devotees, Krishna is ready to protect them. Prahlad Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, but then Narsingdev was ready to offer liberation to Hiranyakashipu. Like, I think Govindru was saying. And Narsingdev said, I have already delivered 21 generations. And Prahlad Maharaj asked Narsingdev, please give your blessings to my father. Please forgive me. Forgive my father. Narsingdev said, I already given liberated all your 21 generations. Like, this 21 generation does not only include, in that particular lifetime, 21 generations of all this, like if the person becomes a devotee of the Lord, the 21 generations of his present forefathers, they are delivered. And in the previous life, he may have some other body. He may have been a human being, or he might have been a like some other animal. Even the 21 generations of that particular species, that is also, they are also delivered. It's like the best network marketing. And a person becomes a devotee of the Lord. So, like, one family, like, they were eager to get the blessings of Narada Muni. So they pleased Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni became so much pleased. He asked them, please tell me, what do you want? The husband asked, I want to go to heaven. So Narada Muni said, Tathastu. And the wife said, I want to be with my husband. So Narada Muni granted that also. And then both of them went to the heaven. And then the child asked Narada Muni, I am feeling scared without my parents. I want them right now. So they came back from heaven. So the point is that one may actually please the devotee of the Lord, but then one has to ask for blessings in the spiritual platform. If a person asks for blessings, for material blessings, then that is only temporary and that will be taken away. And another point is, like, we see this example of Shukadeva Goswami. How Shukadeva Goswami, because he got the blessings of the Lord, he could actually perform such a wonderful task. Like I was telling in one of my previous classes, like, when we talk about different kinds of fear, of course the greatest fear is the fear of death. But there are also other great fears if a person goes through. Apart from the fear of death, one of the greatest fear a person goes through is fear of public speaking. Like, there are many stories which devotees tell that how even persons who are like very highly learned or highly qualified, when they face a big audience, they have that fear. Like everyone, including myself, like, when we face an audience, like, definitely there is a fear. Recently, Radhaduti Prabhu was sharing a point, because he happened to see an article in which he was saying that in the West, some of the very professional musicians, some of the top music band, when they actually give a public performance, what they do is, they pre-record their performance, and in the stage, they act as if they are singing, or they act as if they are playing. In front of a big audience, because they are so sensitive about, like, what will people think. They are so self-conscious. So what will people think if something goes wrong? So this fear, because it's like fear of public speaking. They will not be speaking, but they are performing a music. They are doing a music performance. But we can see that because they have that fear of facing the audience, that they actually pre-record the music and as if they act as if they are actually playing it. And in public speaking, suppose when we are speaking to people who are lesser than you, who don't know the subject more, or like new devotees, etc., then even if you are unprepared, you may give unprepared lecture, but you may not have that fear, because you know that these are all new people. And when you are speaking to the equals, then you have to be more cautious, you experience greater fear. And when you speak to those people who are superior to you and who know the subject thoroughly, then you feel even greater fear. And also, when you speak to people, when you speak to a large number of people, like sometimes when people give seminars in college auditorium, like just by seeing the college crowd, sometimes in between they start clapping or they start speaking, etc. When you speak to a large number of people, that also increases the fear. But here we see an example in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how a person overcomes this fear by the blessings of the Lord. We see this example of Shukdev Goswami. In the first canto, 19th chapter, it is described that when Shukdev Goswami entered that bank of the Ganges where Parishit Maharaj decided to fast until death, then Shukdev Goswami sat in the asana. It is described that Shukdev Goswami was ready to answer all the questions of Maharaj Parikshit without any hesitation. And who were all present in that assembly? As soon as Parishit Maharaj decided to fast until death, sages from all over the universe, they came to that place. Because they knew that Parishit Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord and he is going back to Godhead after 7 days. They wanted to observe this historical incident. So people, sages from all over the universe came there. It is described in that assembly, the best among Devarishi, Narada Muni, was present. And Vyasadev, the best among Brahma Rishi or something is mentioned. So Vyasadev was present, Narada Muni was present, and so many other great sages are present. And who is actually Vyasadev? Vyasadev is the spiritual master of Shukdev Goswami. And Narada Muni is the grand spiritual master or Param Guru of Shukdev Goswami. And Shukdev Goswami had to speak to a large thousands of sages, greater number of people, and he had to speak to people who are actually superior to him, his Guru and Param Guru. But then it is described, Shukdev Goswami spoke, he was ready to answer all the questions of Maharaj Parikshit without any hesitation. So how is it that Shukdev Goswami could speak Srimad Bhagavatam to such kind of people? And how is it that all these great sages, including Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, they sat there and they heard from Shukdev Goswami for 7 days and 7 nights? So that is explained in a commentary of Vishnu Chakrati Thakur, the first canto, second chapter, when Suta Goswami starts speaking, starts answering the questions of the sages, he first offers obeisances to Shukdev Goswami, his own spiritual master. He says, Yahasvanubhavamakila Shrutisaramekam Adhyatma Deepamati Tirshatam Tamondam Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunam Upayami Gurum Muninam. Suta Goswami says, I offer my obeisances to the son of Vyasadev, Shukdev Goswami, who is the uncomparable guru of all the sages. Tam Vyasa Sunam Upayami Gurum Muninam. Yes, Svanubhavam Akila Shruti Saramekam. And who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all hearing, and which is the essence of all the scriptures, all the Shrutis. And then he says, Suta Goswami says, I offer my obeisances to Shukdev Goswami, who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which revealed the excellence of rasa to Shukdev Goswami. Yaha Svanubhavam. Svanubhavam means that which produced the power in Shukdev Goswami. That means the Bhagavatam produced the power in Shukdev Goswami, so much so that he could even speak to the sages like Vyasadeva and Narada Muni. And it is clear that Vyasadeva and Narada Muni and all these sages, they heard Srimad Bhagavatam as if they had not heard before. If you have heard something many times, like usually because we don't have that higher taste, like we don't have the enthusiasm to hear again and again. But then Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, they have heard the Srimad Bhagavatam so many times before, but then they heard from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days and 7 nights as if it had not been heard before. Why? How could they hear? Because Sukadeva Goswami got the blessings of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was so much absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam that Srimad Bhagavatam revealed the excellence of rasa to Sukadeva Goswami. Yaha Swanu Bhavam. Because of that, he could even speak to such a great audience, and he could even speak to sages like Vyasadeva and Narada Muni. So this is the power of blessing, receiving the blessings of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And although Sukadeva Goswami received the blessings of the Lord, but his mood is not in the mood of like instructing those who are superior, but he is actually speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam in the mood of dependence. Like in the second canto, before Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking to Parishit Maharaj, he offers a wonderful series of prayers. In one of the prayers he says, Bhutair Mahatbir Yayima Puro Vibur Nirmaya Shete Yadamushu Purushaha Bungte Gunan Sodasha Sodashatmakan. Sukadeva Goswami is actually seeking the blessings of the Supreme Lord. He is saying that the Supreme Lord, you are actually the source of all the material elements. Bhutair Mahatbir Yayima Puro Vibur. So you please give me your blessings. You please decorate my speech so that I may be inspired with the right words to speak to Parishit Maharaj and all the sages who are assembled here. So he is actually seeking the blessings of the Lord in order to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He is depending on the Lord. And not only he is seeking the blessings of the Lord so that he gets the right words to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, but he also seeks the blessings of the Lord so that the audience can all understand his words and be enlightened. So Sukadeva Goswami, he is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam in the mood of dependence, seeking the blessings of the Lord both for himself and also for the audience. So this is the power of the blessings. And another example of the blessings, how a person gets, when a person receives the blessings of the Lord, a person becomes very famous. Like in the first canto, in one particular verse it is described that Yudhishthira Maharaj performed 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but Indra performed 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So according to mathematics, 100 is greater than 3. But it is described, although Yudhishthira Maharaj performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, he was as famous as Lord Indra. In fact, he is more famous as Lord Indra. How is it? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord. Because he is a pure devotee of the Lord, although he performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, that he was more famous than Lord Indra. So when a person receives the blessings of the Lord, then the rules of mathematics become invalid. And we have another example of how a person, when they receive the blessings of the Lord, he becomes very famous. It's a very wonderful point. It comes in the fourth canto. When Prithu Maharaj was actually performing Ashwamedha sacrifices, so he performed 99 Ashwamedha sacrifices. Then he was going to perform the 100th sacrifice. That time Indra becomes envious of Prithu Maharaj. He wanted to stop the sacrifice. So he was trying to steal the horse. So he came in different forms, as different forms as different sannyasis in order to steal those sacrifice. He actually dressed himself as a sannyasi and then he came to steal the 100 sacrifice. It happened a few times. So then Lord Brahma appears on the sacrificial arena and then he gives a series of arguments to Prithu Maharaj why he should stop performing sacrifices. He gives something like 8 or 9 reasons. So there, in one of the purports, of course, before that point, like we see here, actually, in one of the points Lord Brahma is telling to Indra is that you are the Shaktyavesh incarnation of the Lord. You have appeared in this world in order to establish religion. Because Prithu Maharaj appeared when King Vena was killed by the sages. And then the thieves, they started looting the people. So people were looted by the... First of all, they were troubled by the King Vena. And then they were... After King Vena was killed, people were actually looted. People were troubled by all the thieves and rascals. So irreligion was very much predominant. At that time, King Prithu Maharaj appeared in order to establish religion. So now the argument Lord Brahma is telling to Prithu Maharaj is that you have appeared to actually establish religion, but actually you are propagating irreligion. So better stop performing this sacrifice. Because how is he performing irreligion? Because when Indra is coming in the form of different sannyasis to steal that horse. So in this way, Indra is actually propagating irreligious principles. So Brahma is telling to Prithu Maharaj, so you are actually ending up propagating religion because Indra is coming and propagating religion, and that is because you are trying to perform the 100 sacrifice. Actually, in one sense, Indra is doing the mistake, but then we don't find any verse in which Lord Brahma is chastising Indra, but Lord Brahma is only telling Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj is the trusted devotee of the Lord. Indra is also a devotee of the Lord, but then Prithu Maharaj is a trusted devotee of the Lord. So although Prithu Maharaj was not doing any mistake, but then he was chastised because he was a trusted devotee of the Lord. And then in that connection, Prabhupada makes a particular point in the purport. He says that when Prithu Maharaj stops performing the 100th sacrifice, he will receive the blessings of Lord Brahma. And when he receives the blessings of Lord Brahma, he will become more famous than Indra, although he is known for performing 100 sacrifices. So when a person receives the blessings of a devotee, or when a person receives the blessings of the Lord, he can become more famous than a person who might have performed like 100 sacrifices. This is the power of blessings of the devotee. In fact, because Prithu Maharaj stopped performing the 100 sacrifice, when Lord Vishnu appears in the sacrificial arena, he says, Lord Vishnu becomes so much intensely pleased with Prithu Maharaj. Lord Vishnu tells to Prithu Maharaj, Varam cha matkan chana mana vendra. Vrinishvateham gunashila yantrita. Lord Vishnu is saying, I am captivated by your wonderful behavior. Gunashila yantrita. I am captivated by your wonderful behavior. He says, Naham makair vai sulabas tapobir. If a person performs sacrifices or penances, they cannot please me so much more than when a person exhibits wonderful behavior. One may perform a lot of sacrifices or tapasya, but then if he does not have a proper behavior, then Lord will not be pleased with them. On the other hand, somebody else may not perform such tasks, but then if he is having a wonderful behavior, then Lord Vishnu will be very pleased with such a person. In fact, Lord Vishnu was so much affected by Prithu Maharaj's behavior, when Lord Vishnu starts leaving the sacrificial arena, it is described that Lord Vishnu was touching his feet almost to the ground. And then he was keeping his hand on the shoulder of Garuda. So there it is described that usually when demigods come to the earthly planet, they will not touch their feet to the ground. Of course, Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead. But sometimes Lord Vishnu acts like as if he is one of the demigods. But so that means he is not supposed to touch the ground. But then Lord Vishnu was touching his feet to the ground. Why? Because he was so much affected by Prithu Maharaj's wonderful behavior and affection for him, he was showing his affection to Prithu Maharaj by touching his feet to the ground. And because he is not used to touch his feet to the ground of the earthly planet, in order to have a balance, he was keeping his hand on the shoulder of Garuda. So this is the power of a person when a person receives the blessings of great devotee like Lord Brahma, and that leads to receiving the blessings of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu says, you ask me anything, varam cha matkan channa manavendra. I am ready to give any benedictions. Oh Manavendra, oh king of the humankind. So then, the last point is, how when a person receives the blessings of the Lord, he becomes completely renounced. Because there are three examples. I'll speak maybe one or two examples. It is, one of the examples is of Arjuna. Arjuna actually, it is described, the Gandiva bow of Arjuna, it can kill something like 10,000 or lakhs of people instantly. That is the power of the Gandiva bow of Arjuna. And when Arjuna would actually string his Gandiva bow, that is actually that appeared more beautiful than Karna piercing it. So the Gandiva bow of Arjuna is so powerful. But then when Krishna disappeared from this world, Arjuna actually threw that Gandiva bow after Krishna disappeared. So that means he became completely renounced. In fact, in one particular verse in the first canto, it is described that how when Krishna disappeared, when Arjuna goes to find out what are the mission of the Lord in Lord Krishna in Dwaraka, then he comes to know that Krishna has already left the planet. Then he starts bringing Krishna's queens to Hastinapur. But on the way, Arjuna was defeated by some infidel cowherd man. Arjuna says, Tadvai danusta ishavaha sarato hayaste. I have the same Gandiva bow, I have the same chariot. I am the same Arjuna, but then I am defeated by some infidel cowherd man. It is a big insult for a person like Arjuna. For a person like Arjuna who had defeated like so many greatest warriors in the battlefield, when he was defeated by some infidel cowherd man, although he had the same weapons, it is like a big insult for him. But then what does Arjuna speak in that circumstance? He says, Desha kalartha yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda bhitani me. Arjuna is saying, now in this circumstance, I am remembering those instructions of Krishna, which I'm remembering those instructions of Krishna which he imparted to me in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And those instructions of Krishna, they apply in all time, place and circumstance. Desha kalartha yuktani. But then Arjuna is actually addressing Krishna by the word Govinda. But Prabhupada writes an elaborate purport, but I just want to speak on this one particular word, Govinda. When Prabhupada gives the word-to-word translation for the word Govinda, usually when Prabhupada translates Govinda, you translate as one who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. But in this particular verse, Prabhupada translates Govinda as the supreme personality of pleasure. So Arjuna is addressing Krishna as the supreme personality of pleasure in the situation when he is expressing the, when he is actually having the, when he is going through the highest distress in his life. So when people, there are so many books, like when you go to libraries and there are so many books which are like 300, 400 pages. But you may read such huge books, but ultimately whatever knowledge you get is, it is temporary. But Prabhupada, even a simple word-to-word translation of Prabhupada can enlighten a person much more than all these volumes of big books which are available in the libraries. If you just understand this word-to-word translation, Arjuna is addressing Krishna by the word Supreme Personality of Pleasure when he is actually experiencing the highest distress in his life. Because Arjuna got the blessings of the Lord, actually he becomes so much more renounced and he does not feel bad because he is defeated by the infidel cowherdman. On the other hand, he is actually addressing Krishna by the word Supreme Personality of Pleasure. And lastly, another power of when a person receives the blessings of the Lord, how a person actually exhibits wonderful consciousness, exhibits such contradictory behavior. Like we see the example in the fourth canto, we have the story of King Anga. So King Anga was an emperor, such a great king. He was the emperor of the whole world. He comes in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. But then he did not have a son. So in order to have a son, when he was not having a son, he was so despondent. He was feeling that those people who have sons, they are fortunate. But although I am such a great king, but I do not have a son, so I am so unfortunate. He was thinking like that. So in order to get a son, he performed a sacrifice to please Lord Vishnu to get a son. So first he is actually, what is he thinking? He is thinking that those who do not have son to be unfortunate and those who have son to be fortunate. And then finally he gets a son. But then he gets a son who is called as King Vena. And this son was such a great cruel person. His childhood sport was that he would bring two of his boys and then he would kill them. That was his childhood hobby. And Anga was so frustrated, he was trying to correct his son, but then all his attempt to correct King his son Vena was, it resulted in failure. And then he completely gave up his efforts. And then what is he thinking? He says, those who have no son, they are fortunate. And those who have a bad son, they are unfortunate. Because when a person has a bad son, he will actually destroy the prestige and fame of the dynasty. So, second level of consciousness he is exhibiting is, he is saying that those who have no son, they are fortunate. That's what he condemned previously. And those who have a bad son are unfortunate. And then what is the next level of consciousness is exhibiting? He's saying actually those who have a bad son are the most fortunate. And those who have a good son, they are actually less fortunate. Because when a person has a bad son, he actually becomes detached from the family affairs. He can actually renounce the family affairs and then he can take complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. So thinking that way, he leaves the kingdom in the dead of the night. So there Prabhupada writes, in this verse, the word Mahodayat indicates that by the blessings of a great soul, one becomes materially opulent. But when one gives up attachment to material wealth, that should be considered an even greater blessing from the great souls. So Anga Maharaj, because he got the blessings of the Lord, he actually left the kingdom the dead of the night. Then Prabhupada writes about himself. There are many instances of great souls leaving home in this way in the dead of night, giving up attachment for home, wife and money. So in this way, because Anga Maharaj got the blessings of the Lord, he exhibited such actually difference in consciousness, which is actually contradictory to what consciousness which he exhibited previously. This is the power of receiving the blessings from the devotee or from the Supreme Lord. And especially we like that point that Madan Gopal Prabhu said, it's not a question of using cow products, but it is not a point of using the cow products, but it is actually a matter of accepting the blessings from the cows who are actually so dear to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.